From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, Southern Baptists weigh in on the presidential election.
The candidates are talking about the economy this week. John McCain held a town hall meeting in Philadelphia today. Barack Obama meets with voters in Chicago.
The price of gas has been a hot topic with voters. Today, the Energy Department said gas prices will likely remain around $4 a gallon through next year. How do you deal with that? The candidates are seeking counsel from their economic advisors. Today, we take a closer look at two of them. Who are these people?
Well, first up, Obama's lead advisor is a guy named Jason Furman. NPR's Scott Horsley has been researching Jason Furman. He's here now. Scott, tell us about Jason Furman. He's a young guy, right?
He is. He's 37 years old. He's a PhD economist, Harvard-trained, but he's also someone who's been through the trenches politically. He was an economic advisor in the Clinton White House. He played a similar role in John Kerry's presidential campaign 4 years ago. And he's known as someone who can not only crunch the numbers, but also put the words together to craft an economic message. Not that wordsmithing has exactly been a weakness for the Obama campaign so far.
Well, so what is his background? What's his platform? What's his economic viewpoint?
Furman is considered a centrist Democrat. He's been working most recently as head of the Hamilton Project at the Brookings Institution. That was a sort of an economic think tank founded by former Clinton Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin. And the Hamilton Project is considered moderate by Democratic standards. It's generally devoted to free markets and free trade. This week, some on the left have criticized the Furman pick, suggesting that Furman represents a Wall Street viewpoint. And certainly Robert Rubin worked on Wall Street before entering government service, and he now chairs the executive committee at Citigroup. Furman himself has downplayed his own economic views, saying he's there just to work for the campaign, not to impose his own views, and promising to seek advice from across the economic and political spectrum. But this does look like sort of a classic Democratic pivot. Once you've won the primary, you stop catering so much to the left wing of the party and you go after the center.
So tell us more about Jason Furman and how he might shape Senator Obama's economic policy.
I think one obvious example is trade. During the primary, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton tried to outdo each other with their sort of protectionist rhetoric, promising to renegotiate NAFTA, especially when they were campaigning in Rust Belt states. Furman has said that Democrats need a somewhat different message. This is Jason Furman in an interview with NPR last fall.
I hope the lesson that Democratic candidates take from this is not to bash trade and call for protectionism, but instead to call for a robust safety net. Those are all the best answers.
And that's very much the tone that Barack Obama was setting when he spoke on the economy earlier this week.
We know that we can't or shouldn't put up walls around our economy. A long-term agenda will also find a way to make trade work for American workers.
Now, I'm not suggesting that Jason Furman is putting words in Barack Obama's mouth here. Obviously, Obama himself has sounded a similarly free trade note in some of his earlier writings, like The Audacity of Hope. You might remember that earlier this year, there was a minor controversy when another Obama economic advisor, Austin Goolsbee, was said to have reassured the Canadian government, pay no attention to that anti-NAFTA talk. That's just talk.
Right. And during the primary, that may have cost him some votes in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania, very union-heavy areas of the country. And I'm wondering, you know, the reaction to Jason Furman hasn't been all that great among unions.
That's right. Furman has a reputation as being fairly business-friendly. He famously wrote a paper several years ago in which he defended the fiercely anti-union Walmart, arguing that the gains of Walmart's low prices offset whatever costs there might be associated with its low wages and benefits. Furman also noted that 8 out of 10 Americans shop at Walmart, which is a number that pretty much any politician can probably understand.
NPR's Scott Horsley, thank you.
My pleasure, Madeline.